Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes Vav. So Rechavam has answered the people, what he thinks, with strength and confronting them. But to the people, it gets a far different meaning across. V'lo shama ha-melech el ha'am. Purely and simply a beautiful phrase. The king did not listen to the people. And what the Mefarshim say is that even after this stubborn refusal, the people tried to appease him, the people tried to talk to him, but he refused to listen. And Tzudas David, though, says no, he refused to listen to the initial request of the people. And that was enough. That was all it took. How can you be a poor leader? By refusing to listen to the people. Ki ha'yisa siba me'im Hashem. But the Nach says, don't judge Rechavam too harshly. Even though the last several days, we've really been piling on Rechavam for this choice. Don't judge him that harshly. Because it had been brought about by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Siba, it was a reason, it was a ruach that came from before God. L'ma'an ha'kim es devaro. To fulfill his word, Hashem's word, Asher Diber Hashem b'yad achiyah ashiloni, El Yeravam ben Nevat, that God had spoken by the hand of Achio Hashiloni to Yeravam ben Nevat. So Rechavam does hold responsibility, the Mefarshim said. He was raised by the wisest of men. He was the son of Shlomo, the grandson of David. This mistake came because God clouded his judgment. His friends should have even known better. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to do that sometimes, to influence how events proceed. But Rechavam, says the Me'am Loes, if his real desire had been to be a good king and a Shomer Yisrael and a faithful shepherd to Klal Yisrael, he could have spoken his heart without any kind of guile and wouldn't have sought out the advice in the first place. Even with impaired reasoning, if he had been straight with the people, been sincere with the people, been tender with the people under his care, he wouldn't have lost the kingdom. And the Gzera, says the Me'am Loes, strong words, the Gzera would have been nullified. You can do tshuva. You ask, in Avinu Malkenu, Kira Roach Zardinenu. You have an evil Gzera of din against you. But you implore God to tear it up. God doesn't always choose to follow that request. But you can ask. But Rechavam didn't ask. He wanted the power and the glory, says the Me'am Loes, of being king without the responsibilities. His answer from the Zakenim would have been a tricky answer. Would have been cunning. A cunning plan. He would have said, oh yes, I'll serve you, but he wouldn't have meant it. So according to that way of looking at it, when it says, Ki ha'isa siba me'es Hashem, the only thing God did was remove his ability to lie to the people and trick them and say, yes, I'll serve you, when he didn't mean it. He had the ruach of Gaiva push Rechavam into saying something further than he would have done if he was a born politician. But he's not the one who put the Gaiva there in the first place. He's not the one who set Rechavam on the wrong path. That's what Bechira means. We can be the tool of a terrible Gzera from above. But we have to choose to be used in that manner. We have to put ourselves in that position. It's the divine decree. And this is Mida Keneged Mida. Lashon Hara is a terrible thing. Yosef, when he talked to his father Yaakov about what he thought he saw his brothers doing, if you go back to the Midrashim of Bereishis, Avram and Achai, sins when they were out watching the flocks, Yosef tattled on his brothers and they felt justified to kill him. Yehuda interceded to save Yosef's life. But he didn't forgive Yosef. And he was the one who suggested Yosef be sold into slavery. And here we are now, many centuries later, and it's just a beautiful connection, one of the greatest descendants of Yehuda, David HaMelech, believed Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth, who comes from Binyamin, who comes from Rachel. More Lashon Hara about a Ben Rachel. And so he, we said in the Gemara, in Gemara Shabbos, Nun Vav Amen Aleph, decreed that the property should be split between Mephibosheth and Siva, the servant. God decreed at that moment, you listened to Lashon Hara and you accepted it, your kingdom is going to be divided with the same B'nai Rachel that you believe Lashon Hara about. And now Rechavam's stubborn use of language is going to doom him of being king of all 12 tribes. And Klal Yisrael is angry. Vayar, Pasuk Tezayin, Vayar Kol Yisrael, Kilo Shama HaMelech Aleihem. What happens when a leader speaks impulsively and derides the people? The people turn their backs on him in return. And all of Bnei Yisrael saw that the king had not listened to them. Vayashivu Am Es HaMelech Davar Lemor. And the people returned in a likewise statement back to the king. Very harsh words. And they said, Ma Lanu Chelek B'David. What part do we have with David? We have no chelek in David. V'lo nachala b'ven Yishai. And no inheritance with the son of Yishai. Lo halecha Yisrael. Go to your tents, O Israel. They saw there was no point in trying to reason with or negotiate with Rechavam. He was not listening at all. And so they gave him a very harsh response of their own, saying, we do not belong to you. We do not accept you as our king. You think that because you're from Yishai and from David, that you have an automatic right to rule? We don't care what family you come from. If you want to be stubborn and arrogant, Ata re'ei veischa David. Now look to your own house, O David. You can rule over your own house. You can be king of your own house, but not of us. Vayilach Yisrael Ohalav. And all of Klal Yisrael, the Malchus Yisrael, the 10 tribes we'll see, went to their tents. Yud Zayin Uvnei Yisrael Hayoshim Ba'ar Yehuda Vayim Lochaleyam Rechavam. Whereas the Jews who lived in the cities of Yehuda, Rechavam would rule over them. So even the Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin will accept him as king. But it doesn't say that they accepted him willingly either. It says because they lived in the cities of Yehuda, they were surrounded by his army, by his troops, so Rechavam ruled over them. It doesn't say they accepted him. But the rest of Klal Yisrael said, we have no part in you. And according to some of the Mefarshim, by rejecting Beis David, they were also rejecting the Beis HaMikdash built by Beis David. And when they said, go to your tents, they said, we are abandoning the Ohel Moed, the tent of meeting of Moshe and the Beis HaMikdash, which symbolizes all of mankind davening to God in one place. And Shlomo had made such a tefillah that we went through for days that the prayers of each person be accepted with special rachmanis at the Beis HaMikdash. But now Yeravam and his followers are telling Klal Yisrael, everybody go to your own tent, daven at your own wall, daven at your own shtibel, don't go to shul. Make a house minion. Who needs the Beis HaMikdash? That is an enormous rejection of their birthright. In the end, they're going to get hurt for this, but it's going to be hundreds of years. None of the people who are there who make this faithful decision and feel completely justified are ever going to see the end result that the 2.5 Shvatim and then eventually all 10 Shvatim will be exiled 180 years before the rest of us. That rejecting the Beis HaMikdash means embracing Avodah Zarah and pagan ways. Terrible, terrible things are going to ensue. And Yeravam ben Nevat, who plays such a leadership role in all of this, he is going to be put in such a place that we're going to see his name over and over next to the worst sinfulness for the rest of Sefer Melachim that Klal Yisrael is going to commit. That name Yeravam is going to be synonymous with Avodah Zarah and abandonment of our Jewish heritage and our Jewish connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something you can't wish on anybody. And his name is going to be the first one listed in Masechta Sanhedrin for people who lost their Olam Haba. All of that comes from this moment. Lo halacha Yisrael, go to your tents, O Israel.